Well, it's good to be with you this morning. One of the first things I would ask of you is if you, either on a phone app or the worship program or a note card in front of you, just take one of those items and right now mark and write down the top 2 to 3 things that have brought you the most joy in life. Okay, we're going to refer back to those a couple times through our time together. So right now, just take a note card, phone app, the worship program, and write down and mark the top 2 to 3 things that have brought you the most joy in life. Now, in this series, using the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 as a springboard into other scriptures, we want to encourage and enable us to reflect on becoming people whose character speaks louder than words. We want to be people who reflect goodness, grace, and beauty, and truth to the world. And for many of the weeks of this series, you have an opportunity, as you often do, but I always like to point it out when I have opportunity. You have opportunity today to hear 2 different preachers on the same topic. As I always encourage, listen to both, double dip, as I call it. You will be the better for it. My friend and colleague, Pastor Steve Noble, is preaching on the contemporary side this morning on the same topic. And he's going to find his way, meander through the scriptures in a couple different places. We're not going to go. We're going to go a little bit different way. But I think that's what joy calls us to. We have to do that to fully understand truly what biblical joy is. Now, today, as I've been saying, and you've already heard in our music and verse selections for Call to Worship, our focus today is on joy. And we follow the prompts of Jesus and take a journey through the scriptures to see how joy is possible, no matter the circumstances. And at the end, realize that true biblical joy flows when we focus on God's presence and promises in all aspects of life. Now, a few formational points, as I call them, as we begin here. For us to keep in mind and heart as we begin this journey into joy in the scriptures. First is this observational summary from David White. Now, David White is a pastor, professor, and author, and here one of his titles that he held over the years. One of his positions was a scholar in the theology of joy, in the theology of joy and the Good Life Project at Yale Center for Faith and Culture. How would you like to have that title? I'm the scholar in the theology of joy. Right? Hold that. Let that sink in. Oh, and I want you to write these down too. They're going to be on the screen for you to write these down because I want us to keep track of these. These 3 observations that White makes. Because again, we will refer back to these as well, so capture them. He says, the Bible asserts 3 primary and overlapping sources of joy. God's ongoing gift of the creative order, the present and coming redemption of all things in Christ Jesus, and the practices of the church that bear witness to God's kingdom. God's ongoing gift of the creative order, the present and coming redemption of all things in Christ Jesus, and the practices of the church that bear witness to God's kingdom. When you look through the scriptures, he puts these in 3 big buckets to summarize the findings of joy. Hold those, write those down, we will come back. And then a second formational point, as I call it, as I feel compelled to share at the start of a message on joy, is to ask you, Kelly alluded to it already. What is the difference between joy and happiness? I think it's helpful to address that at the beginning here, at least a little bit. And here are some of the highlights between happiness and joy. Happiness is merely external, fleeting, and primarily based on positive, beneficial circumstances. For me, I'd feel really, really happy, borderline joyful, completing a marathon, because I would be shocked to begin with. Joy, on the other hand, is internal. It's selfless. It's sacrificial, and it is sourced through an intimate connection with God. It makes all the difference. We see throughout the scriptures and in very different ways that God promises us joy, but we are never promised happiness. In fact, we are warned just the opposite. We are warned over and over again in the scriptures that life is hard and the struggle is real and it's messy. Remember our Lenten series? I so loved that Lenten series. Life is messy, but Jesus is in the mess with us. Joy is a state of being because it is connected to God's promise and presence in and around our lives. Joy is promised by God, and it's something we are invited to strive towards. And when we do, the Spirit of God transforms us to reflect God's beautiful character, which joy is a part in the midst of whatever life may be bringing us in those moments. Because joy flows when we focus on the presence and promise in all aspects of life. Now, with these initial reflections in mind, let's enter more of the scriptures this morning and see what we find on joy. You can take out a pew Bible or on your phone and just mark or stick a finger in John 15. That's where we're going to camp out mostly, John 15. It's very helpful to realize that according to the teaching of Jesus and the scriptures, joy, true biblical joy, is not naturally produced on our own. We don't create it on our own. We don't make it directly. Joy is a gift to us. Joy is a gift to us. Remember, joy, as we've been shared last week and going to continue to share throughout this whole series, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Or better put, joy is part of the fruit, singular, because that's what it is in the Greek. It's a singular word, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a package deal. Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I love how the Message paraphrase draws out some of these nuances. But what happens when we live God's way? The Holy Spirit brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. In essence, what that means is we can't make joy by our own efforts or grow the fruit of the Spirit in and of ourselves, because joy is a byproduct. It's the produce of our relationship with Jesus. You see, joy flows when we focus on God's promise and presence in all aspects of life. Now, that being said, notice what Jesus shares at the end of our key passage for today, John 15, 11. This is how he ends that section we're going to be looking at. Jesus tells us, I have told you this, everything that preceded this point. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to us. So that my joy, Jesus' joy, may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus is telling me, he's telling me these things so his joy can be in me and my joy may be complete, I'm going to sit up a little taller. I'm going to take that note like my pastor told me at the beginning of the service, and I'm going to make some notes about this, right? I'm going to do that because Jesus is telling us, how do we do this? If we want to have this experience of joy, full joy, complete joy, according to Jesus, here's how. And showing us how, we'll discover joy is sourced through some unexpected places. And again, Pastor Steve is going to meander a little bit deeper in some of these unexpected and surprising places that we see in the full breadth of the scriptures. Be worth the listen. Let's return to Jesus, the beginning of this chapter, 15:1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Friends, God's desire for us is that our lives would bear fruit. Notice as we fold into the fuller understanding of Scripture, we already heard from Galatians. When we fold Galatians into this passage here, we realize as part of the fruit of the Spirit, the full Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is involved in producing that joy in our life. The fruit that is growing in us is the character of Christ. We are becoming more and more like Jesus as we open our lives and our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. There is a beautiful depth and weight here to this conversation on joy when we reflect on that reality. That joy is produced in our lives in cooperation with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's so much more than mere happy-clappy. Put a smile on. There's a weight. There's a depth that happens in joy that joy produces no matter what life brings. Now here's where it gets a little bit more interesting and counterintuitive maybe when it comes to our conversation on joy. Perhaps restating for us, to fully experience the fruit of joy in our lives, there is a pruning of our lives that has to happen. So this fruit of joy truly can be seen and flourish because joy flows when we focus on God's promises and presence in all aspects of life. So to grow to be the kind of people whose lives speak louder than words, being people who exude joy, God prunes our lives. Now, a number of years ago, I was on a missions trip to Italy. The best food I ever had on a missions trip, I can add. And I remember being in Italy and you pass vineyard after vineyard after vineyard. And one thing that really struck me about these vineyards is I saw almost no greenery. I saw some vines, big thick vines, and these huge clusters of grapes. Every vineyard looked exactly the same. Now, that really struck out to me, stood out to me, thank you. That really stood out to me because I was living in Wisconsin at the time. I was a pastor up there in Wisconsin, and my neighbor had this ginormous trellis in his backyard that every summer would blossom these. You ever see grape leaves? You know, the leaves of a grapevine? They're huge. They would be huge, and they would cover this trellis. And the vines would be really thin. The leaves were ginormous. And the grapes, you could barely see them because they were covered in all the greenery that was there. And what was the difference between what I saw in Italy and what my neighbor does in Wisconsin? Pruning. Pruning. You see, in Italy, they pruned the vines. They pruned the grapevines. And they were completely pruned of all the greenery, of all the branches, so that all the energy and nutrients would be focused in and would produce the biggest, largest, most healthy bunch of grapes that you could see from afar. From afar. Pruning means to cleanse, to purge, to purify, to guide and direct growth. It's in our pruning where we have the greatest chance to grow, the greatest chance for intimacy, reliance upon Jesus, and thereby to grow the character of joy in our life. Pruning may be of good things. Did you catch that? Jesus himself says, branches that produce good fruit are pruned. So more, don't miss this, I produce good stuff in your life, so that even better stuff can be produced and grow. Now, this is where we begin to see the biblical idea of joy truly emerge. I would argue it's in these moments of our lives where pruning is happening, we can experience joy like never before. Joy beyond mere happiness, because joy flows when we focus on God's premise and promises, God's presence and promises in all aspects of life. Okay, so now refer back to your top two or three items that you listed. Look at them again. My guess is, at first glance, when you think about those moments that brought you the greatest joy in life, they were very happy moments. I know mine are, right? Here's what I wrote down. Getting married to Linda, 32 years of amazing joy and happiness with that woman, right? As of, I think it was last August, 32 years. So if I'm doing the math right, this August, August 21st, yes, I do know, will be 33 years of amazing joy being married to my wife, Linda. The birth of my daughter, Maya, another milestone. 10 years after we got married, I'm in the delivery room. That's a whole experience I'm still recovering from. And the birth of my daughter, Maya, who in 2 weeks, friends, graduates from college. There's a whole lot of emotions with that one. And my third one I wrote down was worship and communion experience in the middle of a restaurant in southern Brazil. I was on another missions trip, and I will never forget that. Sometime I'll tell you the full story, but I will never forget being in a public restaurant, and we had communion and worship in the midst of that public restaurant. It was such a joyful experience. Now, each of these have something in common. Each is a sacred space that showcases the character and the beauty of God. There's a beauty and weight in the midst of this happiness, and it's good. It's deeper than happiness because it's true biblical joy. And I'll look at that other list from Dr. White. Remember what Dr. White shared with us? Biblically speaking, sources of joy. Number one, God's ongoing gift of the creative order. The birth of my daughter, Maya. Of course, there's going to be joy there. The present and coming redemption of all things in Christ Jesus. Communion and worship points us there. It helps us remember that what Christ has done, and he is coming again every time we do communion. Of course, there's going to be joy there. God is present. The practices of the church that bear witness to God's kingdom. Worship, communion, marriage. A Christ-centered marriage is a symbol of the kingdom and a wedding between Jesus and the church. Of course, there's going to be joy there. Now, with these in mind, keep going with me here because this gets a little harder. Let's rejoin and fold these ideas, fold those three things from White, and we've already heard from Jesus, and this idea of pruning. And as we do, let's admit that pruning is hard. And it doesn't mean there will be no joy. Because pruning is also needed, and when guided by the hand of God, enables us to grow, enables us to showcase the fruit, even joy in the harshest of circumstances. And from my own life, I share two such stories. Pruning examples, hard things in life, that still had great joy. I don't know about you, but for me, I will never forget, and if you had this experience, I'm sure it's with you, because you never forget the moment, that moment you are in the room when someone goes from this life to the next. Never forget that moment. Passes into eternity. I was a pastor in Wisconsin, as I shared earlier, and I was invited. Jerry was her name. She was in the ICU, and her family had called me in as the pastor, their pastor, because they were about to disconnect Jerry from life support due to complications of a failed kidney transplant. Jerry was 35 years old. Her daughter was in the room. Her husband was in the room. Her mom was in the room. And I did the best I could in that moment. I've never experienced this before in my ministry career at that time. And I remember leaving that room after Cherry had passed. And I remember I had small group at my house that night. And I called Linda up and I said, Linda, I can't come home right now. I can't do it. I need time to process what I just experienced. So I went to a local coffee shop and I opened up the scriptures. And I wrestled through, do I believe what Jesus is saying? That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That even in death, there is truly life. And in fact, life like never before. And as I pored over those pages in the coffee shop, there was this joy that started to well up inside me of this knowing, of this support, of this solidness, of this depth, that I wasn't just happy with Jerry that she was released from the pain of this life, but a joy that she is with her Savior and a joy of knowing that, yes, we too will be reunited one day. And we would celebrate, and we could celebrate. And in the days and the weeks that passed after Jerry's passing, I remember being able to stand proudly beside her family. Do we have sadness? Do we shed tears? You bet. I still am. But in that, there's this joy that is coming up. The other place, very similar, but just want to share. As I thought about this in my own life, this pruning, these hard things in life that God uses to shape us, to refine us, as we will hear. My first funeral, early in my ministry days, my first funeral was for my grandmother. What a joy to have my first funeral as a pastor be for my dear grandmother, my mom's mom, who prayed for me to go into ministry, who knew I was going to go into ministry before I did, who knew I was going to marry Linda before I did, that grandma. And I remember the joy from hearing the stories at her funeral of how we celebrated this dear woman's life who loved the Lord dearly. What a joy in the midst of sadness and the weight and depth of missing someone that we love. Now again, in each of these stories, look over that list from Dr. White, the sources of joy for us, the present and coming redemption of all things in Christ Jesus. Yeah, true for Jerry, true for my grandmother, and the practices of the church that bear witness to God's kingdom. Yes, the celebration of a life well lived with Jesus at center. A funeral celebrating the presence and promises of Jesus. Check that. And because of that, joy was around. When we keep these ideas close to mind and heart, we begin to understand in a deeper way some of the certain scriptures and what they mean. In Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. The cross and joy overlap for Jesus because he was focused on something greater. Scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The only reason we can do that is because we belong to Christ Jesus, the source of that joy. James 1, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When troubles come, when you get pruned, when you are being pruned, consider it an opportunity that God is building his character in you. He's enabling you to develop that joy, the joy-filled character. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, your character has a chance to grow. There's a series of liturgical prayer books that I've been using more and more, especially with people in need, and they are called Every Moment Holy. Every Moment Holy. And what they do is give you a way to honor the presence and promises of God no matter where you find yourself. Whether you're going, and I do this a lot, it's a liturgy you simply print out, and I read it and pray it with people going into surgery because there's a liturgy for a medical procedure in the morning. And there's a liturgy for a wayward child. There's a liturgy that points you back when your spouse has passed. Recently, I gave a liturgy of Every Moment Holy, joy can be there. This one family was going to scatter the ashes of their family member out west. There was a liturgy of that, of finding God's joy, even in that. Because folks, joy flows when we focus on God's promise and presence in all aspects of life. Jesus continues in verse 3, encouraging us to stay with the process. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you, verse 3. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's this sense of ongoing lifestyle that we're entering into. This remaining, this abiding, and NIV, different translations of the Bible, NIV and NLT say, remain in me. The Message paraphrase says, live in me. The ESV, English Standard Version, and the KJV, King James Version, say, abide in me. But each one captures this idea, this is a lifestyle we are entering into with Jesus. It shows us our way of life is centered upon Jesus. And I so love how C.S. Lewis offers to help us understand the depth of this and where we move to. Lewis writes, I think all Christians would agree with me if I said that though Christianity seems at first to be all about morality, all about duties and rules and guilt and virtue, anybody feeling that in their past? Yet, when you stay with it, when you center upon Jesus, it leads you on out of all that into something beyond. One has a glimpse of a country where they don't even talk of those things, except perhaps as a joke. Everyone there is filled with what we should call goodness or joy or peace or character of Christ, as a mirror is filled with light. But they do not call it goodness. They do not call it any of those things. They are not thinking of it. Why? Because they are too busy looking at the source from which it comes. Ultimately, we want to live in a way that we're not thinking of having joy or love or peace or any of these things. We are simply arranging our lives around Jesus at center. And then all those things, all the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ is produced in us. Now notice how this encouragement by Jesus to remain, to live in, to abide, comes after the discussion on pruning, comes after. It's like Jesus knows we will shy away from being pruned. But if we do, we will miss the opportunity for our character to grow and to be shaped. We will miss the opportunity to discover and put on display joy. Did you catch that one of God's main tools for pruning, for growing our character, for guiding us into joy, is his word? It's referenced here in verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus says. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And in verse 10, if you obey my commands. Meaning that God's word to us is a key way to grow in this intimacy with Jesus, thereby to grow in joy. I would argue that joy can be stifled and choked out of our lives simply by neglecting the scriptures. because the scriptures remind us and focus us on God's ongoing promises and reminds us that God is present no matter what our immediate circumstances may tell us. Even in the suffering, in the pruning, joy is thereby possible. We grieve, we lament, but inside we have joy in knowing this too shall pass. Jesus has won according to the scriptures. Isn't that what we celebrated 2 weeks ago on Easter? Right? Yes? Please shake your head. Yes. Yes. We've been doing that for 2,000 years because we need that reminder. The Apostle Peter was saying the same thing, and I loved how the Spirit works on Sunday mornings at times. We definitely talk with each other about what we're doing Sunday morning. But sometimes we want to talk about all the details. And I love how Dave got up there and he shared 1 Peter. I'm going to read you 1 Peter 3-9, and then we'll wrap up our time together. Notice how the Apostle Peter picks this theme up. And when I read this, notice the overlapping of the things from Dr. White, what he shared, where you find joy in the scriptures. Notice the idea of pruning that Peter reminds us of is so necessary to refine our faith. And notice the great joy. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Hear those promises. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all of us. Again, hear those promises. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, you may not be happy, but you can have joy. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's precious. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him, abiding in him, remaining in him, living in him, will be the salvation of your souls. And as we let the word dwell within us, as we start to change, we start to be more and more transformed into people whose lives speak louder than words, because the written word is leading us to the living word. And when that happens, others will see Jesus in our life and experience ever-increasing amounts of joy in all circumstances of life. Jesus now at this point shares, I have told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. As we close, I want to show you what I mean. And then I'm going to close with two questions. I'm going to show you what I mean. This person, I have two lives here. This person is a very happy person, as you can see. What expresses happiness rather than a yellow balloon? I mean, come on. Right? Very happy. They even go to church. They maybe even be in a small group. But you know what? There's hard things coming across life. This represents the hard times in life. The purifying fire, as we heard, that God uses to expose happiness or joy, uses to expose what is the inner character, what is the inner quality of our life like? What is it filled with? The fruit of the Spirit or our own hot air? our own happiness, our own production. So when these trials, when these things in life happen, when this fruit, when this pruning happens to this fruit, it shows what it was made of. The refining shows, the pruning shows. However, here's another person. There's another person, doesn't look as impressive. There's a lot of hard things that have come in this person's life. So maybe it's diminished their happiness, but there's something different. As their happiness has diminished, they've gone to the scriptures. They've gone to the community of Christ. They've gone to Jesus. And they said, I need you all the more. And so now when this same pruning, when this same struggle, when the same fire refining comes, hardships comes to this person's life, what happens? What happens? They're not saved from being marked by it. They're not saved from being marked by it. In fact, they do carry the mark. They carry the sadness. They carry the loss. However, because there's a difference, they've created that space, and inside them, the Holy Spirit is growing this character of Christ. And because in the midst of the pruning, in the midst of the trial, they still can have great joy. Because they have been transformed. Their inner character is different. It is not from them. It is from the Holy Spirit residing in them. And that, friends, makes all the difference in the world. You hear me? You see what I'm trying to say? That's where true joy is exposed. So the question becomes two very basic questions. Do you believe Jesus knows what he's talking about? If you do, you will be arranging your life around Jesus. You won't be chasing joy or peace or love. You're not going to be doing those things. You're going to be arranging your life around Jesus. Because as a byproduct of that, you will be transformed. And all that you're seeking, that you're hoping for, that your character would reveal to yourself and others will be produced by the Holy Spirit. Second question then is, where do you need help to experience complete joy by remaining, by living, by centering your life around Jesus? Let's admit, we all need help. That's why I come to church every Sunday. That's why I'm part of a small group. That's why I go to a spiritual director every month. I have blind spots. These folks, the scriptures, they point me to those blind spots. So my character becomes more than it is now. So the Holy Spirit has more reign over my heart. So my character, my life can speak louder than words. Friends, imagine if we truly believe what Jesus has been teaching us this morning. Imagine experiencing joy in the hardest of circumstances. Imagine friends and family and neighbors and co-workers being drawn to Jesus because they see Jesus and the joy you display in all circumstances. Imagine living a life beyond words because joy flows when we focus on God's presence and promises in all aspects of life. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the joy that you gift us. We thank you that no matter what comes in our life, when we center our lives around you, joy can abound. Lord, thank you for this morning. We love you. Amen.